Hello, welcome to a very special edition of the crossover at the Turkish Airlines EuroLeague Final Four. We're just hours before the Turkish Airlines EuroLeague Championship game between Anadolu Efes Istanbul and FC Barcelona. And like we did before the semifinals, we're going to break down what happened on Friday and what can actually happen on Sunday. Here with me are four of the best basketball experts present here, all of them at the Final Four. It's a shame that we cannot see each other live, but you know the COVID protocol, how it goes. I really hope that we can do this in the future live in an actual round table. Like, we can share opinions, but face to face, not like online like we're now. So let's begin. Begun Unal, Trend Basket, Turkish team, like Efes in the EuroLeague final, I think for the third time in 4 years. Fenerbahce made it to the final in 2017, 18, and now Efes 19-21, showing that Turkish basketball was on the rise. Actually, it's the last 5 years we had a Turkish team in the championship game. It says enough about the power of Turkish basketball, right?
Exactly. Since 2016, there's a Turkish team in the final. This is a big thing, actually, for the Turkish basketball and how it is growing and how it is gaining the respect. In fact, because in the past, there have been some successful years of the Turkish basketball, both at the national team level and the club level. But at the club level, it was never this high. Obviously, there were some other titles, but it was never a title like a EuroLeague title. And with Fenerbahce and Efes in the past years, Turkish basketball, I believe, really gained a lot of respect. And according to the Turkish league as well, and this is very important. And year by year, actually, as publicity of the basketball is increasing, the attention of the new generations for basketball, their love for this sport is also growing thanks to these teams, but not limited to them as well.
Absolutely. Actually, the Rusafaka and the Galatasaray also won the EuroCup in recent years. So it's, whole Turkish basketball is on the rise. Andrea Sabaini, speaking of basketballs on the rise, Milano played a great, great semi-final. It wasn't enough, the game went to details, but it shows that Milano, AEX Armani Exchange Milan should be back if they keep doing things the way they're doing, right?
Yeah, as we told you on Thursday before the game, I thought they were in a super mood because they played the second game of the semi-final of the Italian League a couple of days before, and they showed they were ready. And I was not surprised yesterday night during the game. Also, the script of the game, it was something that I think it could happen, and it was happening. Then you said, right, that the details made the difference. And also, I would say, the fact is Barcelona is a very, very strong team, and when you play against this kind of team, you cannot make mistakes at any time. Any 40 minutes is not the problem of the last minutes of the game. I think that the game plan of the Armani Exchange was really also as a good explanation that on the court it was everything set for the big surprise, but you know, basketball, it's like that. There's a ball who can go in or go out, and we see the cruelty also of the last two shots with Panther, which was maybe the MVP of the game, who missed maybe his easiest shot of the night. And then the other side, a very, very good player like Higgins made the difference.
The Zone color commentator analyst Pete Hurtado, as a professional basketball coach like you are, what do you think about the basketball level of the semifinals on the Final Four until now?
Very good basketball level, but I was a little bit surprised about the first half of both games yesterday in the semifinals, because offensive basketball was for moments very good, more than I was expecting about some situation
then we can go to the details. But I think that the basketball level in the second half was about the defense, was about pressure, was about the control of the feelings. And, of course, thrilling. We had very tight games. It was a very good enjoyment for me, the basketball coach, but also for all the fans that they were watching it for TV.
I know you like basketball history. I have a fact for you. Only 20 people have won an Olympic gold medal, a Eurobasketball medal, and a World Cup gold medal. The last four to do it were Alexander Vorosteny, Arvydas Sabonis, Valdemaras Chomičius, and this man right here, Sergei Tarakanov. Sergei, well, other than being a part of basketball history, you're following Cheska really well. They trailed by 21, they came back, they showed great character, but it wasn't enough to beat Efes, right?
Yeah, it was not enough. It would be a big surprise, not surprise, but it will be a big celebration. And I would say that Efes deserved to win, and they were better during most time of the game. But I would like to congratulate my ex-club and the club who I support, of course, which I follow many years, CSKA, for their fightness spirit. Of course, fourth quarter, which when they start to play like they can play, they were close to win the game because Kleiber was very close to hit this 3-point shot, and it's amazing spirit to watch it, and feelings to watch it and to talk about it.
Let's break down the first semifinal since we're talking Cheska. I think that Efes, it's a question for all four of you. Surprised a little bit Cheska in the beginning of the game, but by putting Clyburn in the fourth position, a power forward, Cheska found the balance and managed to come back. I guess that that reaction by Itudis allowed Cheska to fight for the game, right?
A small ball was a factor, was a very important factor in the playoffs against Real Madrid. And yesterday, like you said, Javi, of course, they had many problems to adjust, to defend all these drives to the right of Will Clyburn. It was the main problem tactical to stop him, and they were spending fouls. And other factor was Michik in the fifth foul going to the bench.
Begum, Vasily Micic was amazing in the first half, and he showed why he deserved the MVP, right? I mean, he played an excellent first half.
Exactly. He played like an MVP. We can safely say this, and he could maybe continue this in the second half, but he had the foul problem. And then when Shane was not really into the game, I mean, at the end of the day, he scored 11 points, Shane, but he was not into the game, and this was Vasa got tired as well, and with this foul problem. This is why I think Efes played the way they played in the last quarter. But Vasa was a true leader, and in addition to him, Rodi Balboa, like, he was doing a great job, especially in the first half as well. And I would say, I want to say as well that Efes was lucky at the end of the game. Obviously, they deserve to be in the final with all this performance all over the season. But it's safe to say, from my side, they got a little bit lucky at the end of the game that Cheska was not able to make this last shot, because they made a lot of such last shots.
It's very difficult to find a champion that doesn't have luck on their side. At some point during the season, it always happens. Sergei, I guess Cheska missed Nikola Milutinov a lot, because especially Sertak Sanli, I think, was the surprise player of the game. I mean, he played really well. Yeah, he dominated at points at the five position, and he was, like I said, a big factor in the game, right?
Yeah, I would say that there are a few factors for me, because everyone from CSKA side knew that Efes is a great team, and they played, I remind you, that they played in Moscow in December. Moscow, CSKA won by 35 points, but Efes was suffered after illness of several players. After that, FS took the revenge by 30 points in Istanbul, and it was the biggest loss in the history of CSKA. It was kind of disaster for them, but FS show how they can play. And of course, nobody underestimated FS offensive and defensive skills. I would say that for me, FS played end of regular season. They played best game in Europe, in European EuroLeague competition. And CSKA knew it. They put starting five, defensive starting five, with Kurbanov, Shengelia, Eric, Hackett, and Hilliard. But it didn't work because offensive skills and especially Micic, who managed all the game, they destroyed all the defense. And Shengelia didn't play well, even despite his 10 points, but he was not really in the best mood. Hilliard just disaster this game because he didn't score. He was so needed for CSKA, his shot from long distance, and CSKA shoot only 7 from 25 3-point shots. But second and third quarter, what was little bit advantage of FS, but it was close. So main problem is the first and fourth quarter. First quarter is advantage of FS, of course, and fourth quarter when X factor like in third quarter Lundberg appeared. I will finish now. I would say that in such crucial games like final games, you need that all your leaders playing, plus you need some X factor. What's happened to FS? Because starting five of FS score 70 points against 29 points of CSKA team. And plus X factor Shan Li, who is not, let's say, always playing 30 minutes a game, he scored 19 points and they had advantages. So Milutinov, of course, is big loss for CSKA. Plus, is big loss. I said before the game that without Mike James, CSKA cannot win, or probably cannot win the Final Four, because you need some superstar who will manage this team and who lead this team, any team.
I have a double question for Andrea about Italian people and people related to Italian basketball, because Ergin Ataman, coach Fortitudo and Siena, and has a little bit of Italian vibe to his coaching style. Ataman talks a lot about perfect basketball. I think they played like that for like 25, 26 minutes. But is it a little bit worrying that FS couldn't put 40 minutes together and disappeared a little bit, especially in the fourth quarter?
I don't know, because I don't think he's very worn about it. I think that impressed me so much about FS yesterday was not the start with Micic with 14 points in 14 minutes, something like that. He really showed the way to his teammates. Like Sergei said, you need a superstar in this this level, and Micic did it and saves the way. But the problem is for CSKA, I think FS played a big defensive game. That's I think I was not so surprised, but a little bit surprised it was, because it's not like a super offensive team, but maybe under evaluated about this defense. Singleton yesterday scored 1 point, but he's always important there behind, and all the things that happened in the second half when CSKA was coming back, I think FS was a very I would say smart staying with his defense. I think that was important part of the win at the end, because obviously the players are always the center of the stage, but you need sometimes team effort. And I would say, okay, you have to play good basketball in offense with the team, but the important thing in basketball, I think the most important thing is basketball, is defense. Semi-final, final. At this stage, you cannot go on without defense. And FS yesterday has a bigger answer in this sense, I think.
And the final question about the first semifinal is for you, Andrea, for you, Sergei, and it's about Daniel Hackett. I think he showed great character. He's shown that in the last 4 years, and I'm asking you too because I'm sure you follow him more than most. In the last 4 years, he's done nothing but improving and has become one of the best guards in European basketball, right?
Yes, it's definitely maybe one of the most efficient combo guard in the EuroLeague, and he's growing up a lot last season, as you said. As I told a couple of days ago, I think the secret is also secret. It's not a secret because everybody knows it. The loss of Mike James and the rotations has changed after that. And I think Daniel was very bravo, as we say in Italy, to use this space. And it's not about his growing up technically, because he was already a solid player. He has everything. It's about confidence and the role he has. At the moment, it was not James Moore in CSKA, because Lundberg is a very good player, very solid also. He's a good defender, but it's not comparable to the other one, which was Sergei said. It was a superstar, maybe the best in Europe. So this was the strong part of Daniel Hackett. He deserved his stage, this stage and this level of basketball he's reached, because I hope he can rethink about this decision to leave Italy for the pre-Olympic game, because I think Italy would have a lot of Daniel Hackett on the court, and we saw yesterday also.
Sergei, like I said, he's nothing but improving and improving and improving.
Yeah, for me, Hackett, I repeated several times on Russian TV when I comment in games that it's my favorite player in CSKA. You know, I love such player. I would love to play with such guy, who is great and defensively, who is not egoist, who is sharing the ball, who can score, who has a character. And he shows, unfortunately, it was not happened because probably too much pressure on him on the first half, but he showed his character, and through the hard work, he made his performance on the second half. He helped a lot to CSKA, because if he would play first half, it's thanks to defense, FSU defense, of course, they destroyed his game in several minutes. But if he would play like he played in a playoff game against Zenit, for example, playoff VTB league, because he was just great. He was one of two creators in the game in CSKA. And this is a problem CSKA now, because there are only two real creators of the games. It's Hackett and Kleiber. And if one of them is not playing well, not on the top level like they can play, so CSKA need to change the game and they have problems. So I love Hackett.
Me too, I have to say. He's one of my favorite players. Well, let's move on to the second semifinal between Ajax and Money Exchange Milan and FC Barcelona. I'm going to start with Begum. Of course, Milan lost almost at the buzzer, but they earned themselves a chance by being aggressive. They got 18 offensive rebounds. They got 8 steals. The attitude and the character was not of a team that hasn't been in the Final Four for almost 30 years, right?
Exactly. I mean, I believe that among those four teams, actually, Milano played the best basketball last night. I mean, at the end, they lost the game, but with the potential of Barcelona and with the potential of CSKA and Efes, obviously, we talked in the previous episode that Milano were the underdogs here. And I believe for an underdog, they proved a lot last night on the court. They fought until the end of the game. And this, how Kevin Punter, we were talking also about this individual quality that these guys, players like Punter, Delaney would bring, would change the game a lot. And actually, they proved a lot of things that they are not really the underdogs. They did a great job. And again, it was the last ball game and they could win. And this is, again, a game was lost by chance. A game was won by chance in the end. And I really enjoyed the second game a lot more, to be honest, than the first game. The first game was a great game as well, but it didn't go the way expected. It was nice in the end, but the second game was a real, real semifinal game that we want to see at the EuroLeague Final Four. And that's, I believe, thanks to Milano, how they played last night.
Pity. I mean, there were a lot of players who did well in Barcelona, but Pau Gasol, again, showed that he's doing better and better. 11 minutes, 10 points, hitting a three-point shot like a shooting guard. He looks lighter also. I think he lost weight. He's in a very good shape, right? I mean, he's already a factor for Barcelona.
Maybe I'm very Spanish, and then when I think about Pau Gasol, I'm thinking in the icon. And then in the first 3 points made, if you remember, he take his fist to the chest and point to the bench. It was like an emotional moment for them. Like you said, Pau Gasol only 11 minutes on the court, but very important. And important also the last defense. He was trying to disturb the ball and trying to help in the double team in the last difficult shot of Kane Panther. But it was a good point with Pau Gasol helping on the pick and pop, helping with this kind of layups. He's very good, and he knows how to play this kind of a short amount of minutes in this kind of big games.
Andrea, I guess that even after the win, Barcelona didn't show its full potential. I'll explain myself. Pierre Oriola played 40 seconds. Brandon Davis didn't have his best game, and he's one of the pillars of the team. Victor Claver also came off the bench and didn't contribute like they did, for instance, in Milano, when he played a really good game in Mediolanum Forum. Looks like they didn't show all the cards and are keeping something for the championship game, right?
Well, I agree in part. In the sense is that I think there are a lot of deserve from the Armani exchange. It's not a problem of Barcelona that play their game. Pau Gasol made the same of Mesic. He sent the messages at the beginning, and that was important because the superstar has to step up in this moment. But I think Olimpia Milano out-rebounded Barcelona, which is something that I think if you say before the game, they think you come from a bar, because it's something very unexpected. And this is a very important thing that Armani Exchange did to stay in the game. The game plan was really definitely to fight 35 minutes. And then here they are at the last minutes to get into the win. And they did everything they have to do. I don't think there are some regrets. I think there's only some time to make some days, and then they will think about it with a lot of displeasure, of course, but also with proud, because they have to be proud, because they play, like Megan said before, with three powerhouse of the EuroLeague, and they show that they can stay at this table, not this, but that one, and with a very, very good moment, a good skill, and they give also a good show. Playing and showing all the players. Some player didn't play his best basketball, but it's normal. It's like Brandon Davis, which was the MVP of the playoff, maybe, and play again in 2 points in 23 minutes. But it doesn't matter, because it's every single game at this stage has an own story.
Sergey, I'm leaving the best two players in the game to analyze for you. Kevin Panther came off the bench and was instant offense. He played a great second half. And also Nikola Mirotic, he didn't have his best playoffs against Zenit, but he showed with 21 points that he's probably the best power forward in Europe, right?
No, for sure. Potentially he is the best power forward in Europe, and certainly he came back from NBA. He underlined several times that he came back from NBA because of the title, EuroLeague title. Of course, he is very, very motivated. Most of the season he was great. He was best option for Barcelona in this playoff game against Zenit. He didn't show. He would disappear, and thanks to defense of Zenit defense also. I think in some kind of circumstances after he was sick, and his some family reasons problems, I think that kind of influence also. I would say about this game that that of course Barcelona was favorite before the game, and we all of us we underlined it. And but I was not surprised that Milan has a chance, and due to coach Messina, due to veteran players who understand that, for example, most of them that it's probably last chance to be on a top level European competition, and they are so experienced. And thanks to Messina, and I respect a lot Messina, who managed team with all different characters, and especially Americans, many Americans in one team, sometimes it's not such perfect things what they can be. He unified the players, which each of them, they have their own ego. And of course, this authority of Messina helps a lot. And I repeat another time that in any final game, because final game is very special, you can dominate any most of the games during the regular season, but final game is only one game. It's not a surprise to talk about it, but you need the superstar. Panther becomes this X factor. He is great player offensively, of course, or every time, but they try to find someone, and he became this X factor. So respect to Milano, they deserve even to beat favorite team Barcelona. Barcelona is now I would say the better team by roster, but looks to me a little bit disbalanced now. And I took over my head again versus coach Messina, because he did a great job.
Before we start talking about the third place game and the championship game, I have a final question for Pitti, who's the coach in here. And I want to ask if something surprised you out of the two games, if you saw any tactical surprises that you didn't expect.
Well, I was surprised a little bit with Itudis. He was showing a kind of matchup zone, but very soon in the offense he was going to the man-to-man, to individual defense. About the small ball situations, we can see, because we know that the FS had that kind of problem. Not many surprises. I was Pau Gasol very up in the drop defense of the pick and roll. No big surprises. I think that this is a kind of event that is a player's game. Will Clyburn sometimes play all this isolation. Then for the tactical, to me it's more important the control of the feelings. And for example, Will Clyburn decided to shoot a three when he was finishing in the layup with success. I think that for the next games, the most important thing is about how they are going to control this kind of feelings. And the players that did a good performance yesterday try to keep going. Of course, we have some players, we can speak about them, that they didn't do a very good performance yesterday. And let's see what is the next step.
Well, briefly about the third place game. Of course, it's always difficult to play this game. Nobody wants to play it when you ride to the Final Four, because it means that you lost a semi-final. But some of the best records in the Final Four have been broken in the third place game. I remember Nikos Galis scored over 30 points several times. That allowed him to be the top scorer of all time, even when he only played in four Final Fours. Most recently, Facu Campazzo had 15 assists in a third place game, and that's an all-time record in the Final Four. So why I'm saying this, because Sergio Rodriguez needs 10 assists to be the all-time leader in assists in the history of the Final Four. Since Sergio already played in Russia, Italy and Spain, I'm going to ask Begum about Sergio Rodriguez for an independent opinion. Everybody seems to love Chacho, right? And him having a Final Four record would be a cool thing, right?
Exactly, but I don't know if he will care about this at this point, because I mean he's a player that loves to win. Obviously, these individual records, maybe Sergei would tell us after your career, maybe they would mean more than while you are playing actually. And again, he's a player that loves to win, and obviously he's upset today that he lost. We will see how he will react. Maybe the team will realize that, and the teammates will help him to do this actually in the game. I mean, the assist is a little bit tricky because points is teammates could help easier the assist. I don't know how it is easy for the teammates to do this, but we will see. But when it comes to this third place game, for players and the coaches every year, they say, yeah, okay, this is hard to do. But at the end of the day, I believe for the fans, it's still an exciting event because it's, let's consider that here we had the fans, and you are here to, also for the media, you are here to watch these great players all together in one place. So maybe for them individually, it doesn't mean a lot, but for us, it's another chance to watch great players on the court. And I'm actually looking forward to it. But from the team's perspective, obviously, it is not an easy game to concentrate, and we will see. And maybe some of the records come because one team is more motivated than the other, and one team just goes on the court just to be there, just to get done with it. We will see how things will go tomorrow.
Yeah, I agree. Motivation is a lot. It means a lot in third place game, and it's true that teams that are not used to playing the Final Four usually win the third place game. Unicaja did it. Zalgiris did it. Also, Partizan went into overtime against Ceska in 2010. It's true that it's a trend. By the way, just in case, Theo Papaloukas leads the assist standing with 59 in Final Four. Sergio Llull is second with 53, and now Sergio Rodríguez, after last night, has 50. So he needs 10 to. We like to get our facts right here, unlike some people say. So let's move on to the championship game, right? I mean, there's a lot to talk. And let's start with PT. I guess that everything changes. It's a question for everybody, actually. The matchup between Mišić and Kalaithis was one of the biggest in this game. Two really tall, really strong point guards. But if Kalaithis is not going to be 100%, it kind of conditions the whole thing, right? It's not going to be the same game if Kalaithis doesn't play.
Yes, I think that is a very interesting point because the adjustment. I don't think Kalaithis is going to defend much times to Mišić. I think that maybe Bolmaro, 26 minutes yesterday, it was a very big time for him. Maybe Adam Hanga or Corey Higgins. This is important because the one of Basa Mišić is one of the first points, and also all these kinds of handoff and pick and roll in the middle, because Sanli can receive if they are going to help too much with Brandon Davis, or if they decide about the switch, then Brandon Davis or other of the big guys has to defend Mišić, and this is a very important point for Efes if they can. Score a lot of, then it's going to be a different game if Mišić is with the same percentage than yesterday.
Sergei, even if Kalaithis doesn't play, Barcelona still has Leo Westermann. He was in a Final Four with Ceska, but he was injured, he couldn't play, he didn't play, he's fresh. They have so many options. They have, like Pete said, they have Bolmaro, they have Hanga. So guarding Mišić shouldn't be like the biggest problem Barcelona can have in this game, right?
Yeah, of course. About Kalaithis, when I watched him, his circumstances after his injury, so it looks like he will not play. I don't know exactly the news about his health. We will see it tomorrow, but it looked not so good. So, if he is playing, I'm sure that he will not guard Mišić. I agree with the coach, with my colleague, that there are Hanga, first of all, Higgins, secondly, but I would say Bolmara, who is in the pocket of Jasikevičius, who put young Argentinian. Especially for this role, to defend dangerous players, and we follow it several times already in the playoff games also. So there are a lot of options in Barcelona team, but if you would say, I repeat that for me, Efes a more balanced team who depend who is not depending such a lot. They depend, of course, of Micic first of all, but they share ball well, and they're so experienced and. Teammates during 3 years already without any changes, they play well together. So I would say that they are much more, not much, but more balanced teams than Barcelona right now.
Andrea, I'm giving you one of the biggest matchups in this game. Both Chris Singleton and Riyad Mahrman, the power forwards, played for Barca in the past. Now they're playing for Efes, and they're going to have to face Mirotic, who comes off a great game against Milano. How important can it be stopping Mirotic, especially Singleton, who's playing really well in the last couple of games?
I think it would be a super game. Obviously, they are the two best teams in the season, and so we have the meeting. I agree. Sergei speaks like a book, so it's easy to agree with him. So I would say the same about Efes and his balance. I think. The other side, Barcelona is a very, very talented team, and he has also a great coach. They have everything to compete at the same level. More than one time again, we have to say the details will make the difference. I think that the players will make the difference. Who will be able to step up in Efes? It's not only Micić, there's also Larkin, there's also Simon, there's also Bobois, there also Anderson can step up in a single game and make maybe four frees in a crucial moment. So they are very strong. And inside with Shanley, which is a big, big growing up player, I think in a couple of years it will be dominant also in EuroLeague. They have everything to control Barca inside the area, because that's a key. The rebounding will be definitely important. And I really don't know can at the end have the better, because they are really, really level, like a power, I would say, potential power of the both teams. The thing that make me stay with Efes is because it's a team on a mission. As I said in the episode before, they have a rendezvous, as they say in France, for this game, and I think they will play a special game. That's only my opinion. Barcelona has everything to win it.
Begum, I got to ask you about Larkin and his performances against Barcelona. I mean, his best game of the season, 37 index rating, came against Barcelona this season. He killed Barcelona in the playoffs 2 years ago. He killed Barcelona last season. I mean, he killed everybody last season, but especially Barcelona. He seems to be playing really well against Barcelona all the time. And now he's in the biggest scenario. He's in the championship game, playing against his favorite opponent. Should be a good opportunity for him to... well, to show what he got and make the difference.
Well, I mean, with Shane Larkin, it's very tricky to say something at this point. I can only say that I hope that he will play like Shane Larkin, so that we will all enjoy his game, not just for Efes to win, but when he plays good, everybody watching the TV, watching the game, enjoys. But I'm suspicious about his performance tomorrow. And from his body language yesterday on the court, when he is on the bench, he was not so into what is happening at this Final Four. Maybe that it's because of the fans. Maybe he's really, there are players that can play their game in front of the fans. They can show their potential like this. I don't know what is happening with him, but I can only hope that he will play like himself tomorrow on the court, so that I'm wishing this for the all EuroLeague fans, actually, that we can enjoy his game. But in general, when it comes to the game, I believe both teams have pressure. One thing, Efes has this pressure because this team will not be the same team next season. We all know this. And they have some veteran players who might not be at this level from next season on. They will lose some players, at least one player to NBA, and there will be changes in this roster. And this is not one last chance for Anadolu Efes, but it is one last chance for this current team. and they have this pressure, I believe. And on the other side, for Barcelona, they have another type of pressure that there's a huge investment. Obviously, this is a they have a very, very big budget compared to most of the EuroLeague teams, and there are a lot of eyes on the team that everybody is like. I was thinking last night against Milano, are we expecting way too much from this Barcelona team? They're actually doing a good job, but we have too many expectations from this team, and that we don't realize that how great they're actually playing.
Let's hope. I'm going to ask you, all of you, to give me who do you think is going to be the surprise player of the championship game. And I'm going to start with mine, which is Tibor Pleiss. He didn't play in the semifinals. I was surprised. And he's from Cologne. He will be very motivated. I think he has a size advantage against, not against Barcelona, but against most teams. I mean, other than Madrid, maybe. I mean, Tibor Pleiss is 221. Great experience, soft touch, even able to shoot threes. And I think that if Ataman plays him, I think he can make the difference. What do you think? Who do you think, all four of you, who do you think is going to be like the surprising player of this final?
I don't know to say one exact name, but I think that the shooters in Barcelona, or Kuric or Abrines, can be, because they were very important in the King's Cup in Spain. Yesterday, of course, Abrines made 2-on-2 on threes, but Kuric didn't have the regular feelings that he had with a very high percentage. Maybe the shooters can be this kind of X factor.
Andrea?
Oh, it's difficult. I'm quite sure that Brandon Davis will play a big game. Of that, I really can bet it, because I would say also like a person, like a big man in the locker room, I think is a man from Šarūnas Jasikevičius. So I think Barça expect from him a big game. Also, obviously, as I said, the coach before, the shooters can be the stars of the game because they have a deep impact immediately. But I think structural to the game, I think Brandon Davis will be the man for Barcelona. And the other side, I think it's not original, but I think Larkin has to be really a superstar to beside Mišić. They need, I think, both of them play a super level. They won two times in regular season. They play both good those games. It is not the case, I think, because Barcelona is a big, big defense. They are so big also physically. They are bigger than Ephesus, which is not small. I would say yesterday night, Armani exchanged sometimes in the first half, going dribbling and finding bodies everywhere. They cannot shoot the ball for five or six times. That means that we know that Barcelona maybe has the best defense of the EuroLeague. And in this final game, everything can happen. But I think Efes has to be tomorrow perfect, because I don't think Barca will give anything. Will leave anything on the court to win this title. So it's very exciting game. Not my favorite final before, but okay, that's the best teams at the final stage.
Sergei?
Yeah, I would agree with most of opinions, and I will say the following. My opinion, Larkin, who is a great player, of course, he showed it during several seasons. But he's not so happy with the minutes he is playing. Probably is experienced coach Ataman who managed this player in such position, especially to put him on the floor on the final game, because when you to create such kind of conflicts, it's happened many times in the basketball history when coaches push the player like this and give him much more motivation, especially in a crucial game. So I agree, and I agree that Larkin can be the X factor of the game. And on the side of Barcelona, I also agree Brandon Davis didn't say last word. And if I would be Sikevičius, I would give much more freedom and much more ball to Higgins. my opinion, he deserves a lot. And if he's absent of Galactus, if it's happened, certainly he will have much more ball. And I'm for it because I love this player also.
Finally, Begum.
From the Barcelona side, I agree with the comments that definitely Brandon Davies didn't play his game last night. And we should expect him to come back stronger tomorrow night. And from FS side, Shane Larkin has to be in the game for FS to win. This is a big word to say, but I don't see a chance for FS to win if Shane is not in the game mentally. It's not just about scoring, but just the way he behaves on the court, on the bench. He really has to be with his team tomorrow to win this game, and he would be the expector. But from Ergin Ataman's side, he is believing that Sertaç Şanlı will play even better game tomorrow night. So maybe Sertaç will surprise us again and do his thing.
We'll see. On Euroleague.net, we collaborate with stats, I would say, magician called Darius Gariolis. I don't know if you follow him, but if you don't, I mean, follow him on Twitter. He's amazing. And he gave me a piece of data that I wanted to bring in. When FS scores 80 points in this EuroLeague season, the team is 23-0. I mean, they didn't lose. Every time they score 80 points, they won. Every time they don't reach 80 points, they're 3-14. They only won 3 times out of 17 games that they didn't score 80 points. Of course, we're talking about Barcelona, the best defensive team in the competition. PT, the game rhythm seems to be everything in this game. Probably the biggest key to this game. If FS is able to run and score and they reach 80 points, they have most chances to win. Of course, they could win. I mean, they could lose 80-82 or something and then everything falls apart. But in general, it looks like the game rhythm is everything to this game, right?
Yes, I have a lot of respect for this kind of stats. Advantages stats are very important in my job because we need to fill a very long time during the broadcasting. But the thing is that this is a final. And of course, numbers are important, but it's more important the feelings and the communication in the pick and roll defense or hand-off defense. That's the main key to reduce this kind of pace that you say, Javi, about how FS can score. If Boa can receive the ball with the space in this kind of calm down, then Barcelona is going to have problems against, like yesterday with Kevin Panther. I think that Barcelona has to think what to do with this kind of short jumpers or runners like Boa or Simon, and try to decrease the number of points of these players, because Micic normally is going to score more than 15. And like the legend said, I think that Larkin is not happy with his performance. He was mad yesterday in one moment with the coach, and this kind of energy he's going to put tomorrow on the court, and he's going to score. Barcelona has to reduce other players.
Sergei, you played a lot of finals. You won a lot of finals. Other than not basketball aside, not talking about stats or rebounds or anything. From the hard point of view, from the mental point of view, what's important in games like this that you either win or go home?
I would say that experience, of course, because as older you are and more experience you have, it gives you some advantages, of course, and we see it in this Final Four, because experienced players they didn't do sometimes they didn't do such mistakes that youngsters are doing, or players who didn't participate in the Final Fours. It's important, of course, and team spirit, because when you know that all the fans and all the club behind your back, and you feel responsibility, it also helps a lot and motivate you and gives you a lot of energy. I think both teams are, of course, and experienced and motivated. So it's, I repeat another time that, you know, psychologically is very interesting to me to watch it and follow it. on the psychological point of view, how leaders are manage the temperament, how say the mood, because a lot of expectation. For example, Mitic got MVP award. A lot of pressure, a lot of attention, a lot of interview. It's less than usual because of lockdown, etc. But anyway, he is busy. And Final Four is very special competition when players are busy with interview, with press conference, with a lot of attention, etc. And took out of your balance usually. But it's interesting to watch because I was interested to follow Mitic, how he behave, how he will perform during this game yesterday. And he is okay. He is a true leader. He is already leader who can manage these psychological problems, because when you have so much expectations, sometimes you fall down. It's happened during the many years and during the history of basketball. So for me, it's most interesting to watch it, like Mirotić, for example, because if he will not win EuroLeague title, it's disappointment, very big disappointment for the club and for him personally, and for most of the players is the same. That's interesting to follow.
Yeah, there are only a few games that players can become superstars, and obviously the EuroLeague final is one of them. If you play a great EuroLeague final, you're a superstar for life sometimes. So we'll see. I got to ask you, of course, about predictions. It's a very hard game to predict. I mean, the two semifinals went to details, and even when FS won both regular season games, this is going to be a whole different story, and we all know it. So, Andrea, we're going to start with you. What do you think is going to happen? Who's going to win? Who's going to be the MVP?
I hope all of us will have a lot of fun. We commentated, so I have a very good time yesterday for both games, maybe apart from the end of the second. But I think it will be a Royal Rumble, and the rhythm will make the difference. I agree. But at the end, I would think Barcelona by four, after an overtime, and I would say Higgins MVP.
Okay. Begum, overtime again. These people seem to love overtimes when it comes to prediction. What do you think?
Okay, the prediction and what I want is a bit of a problem, so I will go with what I want. FS by 3 points and Shane Larkin to be the MVP tomorrow.
All right. PD, what do you think?
I think that Barcelona by 5 points, no overtime. I won overtime because the TV always wants this kind of extra time. And the MVP, like a very happy final, happy end, is Pau Gasol.
Pau Gasol, wow.
Yeah, Pau Gasol. Yeah, I agree.
It's my bet.
That's interesting. Sergei, what do you think?
Prediction, of course, it's something special. Something special. I always say that I do not understand anything in the basketball after I know result after my prediction. So, but okay, if you ask me, I would say that 7 points by Efes and Mitic.
Do you want to know my prediction? Or
yeah, sure, or? Sure.
Yeah, of course, we are 2-2. We are 2-2. You make the difference.
Okay, so I think it's going to be a very close game. Again, to details, I think Barca will win by a very small margin, let's say less than 4 points. And I believe Nikola Mirotic will be the MVP because it's his time, it's his moment. He came back from the NBA to win this game. And I really believe he's going to play a great game because I really think he has a little bit of advantage at power forward. So we'll see about that. Final question before we go, and it's for everybody. Basketball wise, I mean, after the semifinals, do you think we are in track to make this the best final forever? Because I really think the two semifinals were extraordinary. If we put on top of it, we are able to put a great championship game. Can we talk about the best Final Four in history in terms of basketball?
Silence. I would say that it's not easy to say this. We have to wait Sunday, but I think the the first three games, because I can imagine also the first game of tomorrow will be a funny game. So it will be the very, very open game where they play without pressure. So I think it will be funny also the third and fourth quarter final. So I stay with you, Kembe. Yeah.
I don't know. Because I have to be honest that yesterday until third quarter when Clyburn just got into the game and changed the rhythm of the game, I was like, okay, no offense. It's a nice game, but it didn't look like we're at the final four, semi-final game. And yeah, from the third quarter yesterday, I was able to get into the game. I'm not sure, but maybe we will have a great final tomorrow.
This moment, I want to remember the first final of the EuroLeague. I don't want to say that I prefer that format in 2001 with the Manu Ginobili MVP. It was five games, very good games, basketball-wise. I really enjoyed that final, but this kind of semifinal yesterday were amazing.
You know, I would say that during all the history EuroLeague Final Four, I have visited 13 of them, so most of them, let's say, and certainly this Final Four is one of the best games until now. What we've seen yesterday, semifinals. To me, it's about basketball, but to me, of course, a lot of influence this atmosphere around basketball. No fans, empty streets around the gym, so. We are in the hotel rooms. It's set, and I very hope that we will come back to the normal life and we will see basketball with the fans, because it's real fun to watch the fans and to be among them, even they're against you. So because this is a basketball, this is our life. So I would say that it's one of the best, but not best one for me.
Yeah, I have to agree. I have to say that with fans and with a good championship game, we could talk about one of the best. To me, the best final I've seen and in all these years was 2007 between Ceska and Panathinaikos. This Final Four, in the beginning, the semifinals were really low level, let's say, because Ceska and Panathinaikos were much better than the other two teams, Unicaja and Tau Ceramica, then Baskonia. Both teams were limited to down to less than 62, 63 points. So there were blowout games. But the final was amazing. Papaloukas and Smodis and Holden and Langdon in Ceska. And then a super team of Panathinaikos with Bečirović, with Tomasović, with Diamantidis. It was probably the best game I've seen in EuroLeague history. Anything close to this tomorrow should be great fun. But at the same time, without fans, you cannot reach, like, let's say 10 out of 10. So, guys, how important is going to be to have fans next year? How do you miss fans in basketball?
A lot of fans are everything. It's very important they come back, of course. I won't come back also the new generation tournament. That's very important to see the new talents, and fans are the main thing in sports.
Begum, the atmosphere, especially in EuroLeague fans, especially in certain countries, is unbeatable, right?
Exactly. I mean, not just in some countries. I like the arenas also where the fans are not chanting so much. It's just good to have the people around and then see that they're enjoying or like not enjoying sometimes their teams, but there are emotions. Even if it's in some arenas, people are not chanting so much. It's like there are emotions there. So I miss this a lot, and I hope that this is the only Final Four without fans.
The final two questions. The first is for Sergei. There's also, I talked to Ataman, I think it was in the media day of Efes, and he told me about the cultural part of the Final Four. You see a lot of people that you don't see. It's like the basketball family gets together. And under these circumstances, it's more difficult because of COVID. I guess we all miss that, right? Seeing a lot of people that you don't see other than in the Final Four, talking basketball with everybody, that's also missing.
Of course we are missing that, because, for example, I live in a media hotel and our contacts are limited. For example, I've seen Sergei Kushenko, president of Liga VTB, yesterday at the gym. but we were talking 15 meters between us, and we cannot shake hands between each other. So it's, of course, with the specialist, with the ex-players, with the journalist, with the players also, we cannot communicate, and we are missing it. So it's a very special atmosphere, which I want to come back to this life, normal life, which we used to be.
Yeah, seems like the vaccine, Andrea, is working, and we'll have something close to normal next year. You also miss this flavor of European basketball, right? The fans give the extra to this league.
Well, it's I would say also it's not about a problem of basketball, a problem of sports, live sports. But the fans are a big multiplier of emotions and feelings and expectation and pressure also, because pressure is the salt. And as Sergei can say, I think it's the pressure that makes you go on in your career, playing, try to reach something, because if you don't have pressure, if you read books of big players of any sports, it's all about that. So the fans are a part of this concept, I think. So it's obviously that we get back to the track before. So next season, I hope it will be everything set for the great comeback.
Let's hope. Well, thank you guys for joining me in this roundtable. It's been a lot of fun, like it was on Friday, probably even better now, since we're closer to the title. Very good luck to Anadolu Efes Istanbul and to FC Barcelona in the championship game. Also to Ajax and Money Exchange Milan and CSKA Moscow in the third place game. Let's see what happens. We made our predictions, and I really hope to join you guys in the future. Thanks a lot. And thank you to the fans for being here. See you next time here at The Crossover.
Thanks for listening to The Crossover with Joe R. Lucas. If you like what you've heard, subscribe now so you don't miss an episode, and leave us a review on iTunes and Apple Podcasts. You can also get in touch via Twitter and Instagram at EuroLeague using the hashtag ELCrossover, or on Facebook at the EuroLeague.